Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Start an hour or two here with a little Green Day of After Hours here on 610 Sports Radio. Christian Ocero, James Howell. Text line apparently likes the Olympics too. Someone asked, how are you boys feeling about the breakdancing we're getting at the Olympics this year? I'm excited.
I'm into it. I saw that on the rundown. You put that on.
I'm here for it.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
I'm here for it, man. Yeah, I'm about it. I was like, at first I was like, really? But then they have like the baton twirling or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, if you got baton twirling, you might as well have breakdancing. It's probably going to be dope as hell, and it's going to trend on Twitter when it happens on TV.
And I'm sure like there is a lot of athletic ability that you have to have.
Oh yeah. No. So, yeah. You don't.
I'm down with it.
Yeah, you don't see no unathletic people breakdancing at the Olympic level. No, I'll never do it. I tried to learn how to breakdance when I was 6. And it did not go well. Kudos to the people that take the time to train, to learn how to, they call it breaking. They don't call it breakdancing. They call it breaking there. I got a lot of respect for people who do that. Another person on the text line said, we went to a bar for happy hour today. Rugby sucked me in. Rugby players are some tough SOBs. Yes, they are. That is a tough sport, man. Seriously, like, those guys are massive. There was a guy on the U.S. team that's like 38 years old, and he was killing it today. He scored four what they call tries, which are touchdowns. He scored four tries. And it's funny because, like, in rugby, they actually have to touch the ball down in whatever what's called the try zone or the end zone. They have to touch the ball down on the ground. And then I think they go back like 5 yards or whatever, 10 yards or whatever, and then they try to kick the ball between the uprights as an extra point, if you will. It's really interesting. Like, it's very football-like, but it's like a mixture of like football and soccer because you can't throw it forward. It's like old school football and soccer. It's really cool. Like, seriously, I really like this. Like, we have a Major League Rugby, like a rugby league called Major League Rugby. And I was like, after I watched some of that stuff this morning, I was like, man, maybe I should like watch some of this stuff. Cause I know they run it on like FS1 on the weekends. I might like get into it. Like rugby was cool.
Yeah. It was cool. It's unfortunate. It's not as popular as what it is in other places.
Cause American football is better.
But it is still fun. And I could see it definitely being an alternative.
If I were the NFL, I would be like, yes, we want to partner with you and we want this to boost the game up. Yeah, I'd be 100%. All about it. No, like I said, like watching the Rugby Sevens stuff on there, and I've watched some rugby before because, like, again, Fox Sports, they're on it. All the weird sports, they got it. Like, they got Aussie Rules football on there. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, there was an Aussie Rules football game on like FS2, and it was nothing on. It was like a Saturday or Sunday morning. Nothing was happening. And I'm like, F it. I'm going to watch this Aussie Rules game. And I didn't understand the rules very much. I'm just starting to get the rules as far as rugby goes. And Aussie Rules football and rugby are pretty similar. But, I mean, it's very physical. It looks like it hurts a lot, and I got a lot of respect for those guys. Seriously, I got a lot of respect for those guys. I am all about it, man. Like I said, I got on it. Somebody also said pro disc golf is insane to watch, too. I got some friends that do disc golf.
I disc golf.
It's tough.
It's very tough.
It is not easy. And the level of accuracy, the technique, they practice all the time. They go play all the time. It is tough. I don't know if I have the patience for it. I'm not a thrower of things. I was not a quarterback. I was a receiver and a DB. I could kick a ball. I could kick something. Like a soccer player, I could kick something. Cannot throw it. Not a thrower of things.
I like getting out there with a couple of friends or whatnot in a non-competitive atmosphere and throw some disc golf. But you don't really catch me in the competitive side of things. I'm not very good at it. It is very hard. I end up losing a lot of disc.
It's like I said, it's very intense, and there's a lot of science behind it and everything. I got a lot of respect for them disc golfers. Like all that ultimate frisbee, all that looks, it's way harder than it looks.
Oh yes.
Way harder than, yes. I think a lot of people underestimate how hard that stuff is. So getting into Patrick Mahomes, I said before the break, I thought he might have the most fun that he's ever had this year. Obviously, part of that is he's going for history this season, going for the three-peat. No one's ever done it before. We've seen some teams make it a little close. We've seen some teams make it interesting, but we've never seen a team do it. But that's not the reason why. I brought up at the beginning of the show that one of the things that we saw, I think it was on Monday, Patrick Mahomes rolling out on a passing play towards his left, turns his body completely around, launches the ball down the field, 60-yard touchdown to your first-round wide receiver, Xavier Worthy. And after the play, I mean, he ran across the field celebrating. He was so excited, celebrating with his teammates. Everybody's high-fiving and celebrating. Mind you, this is training camp. This is not a game. This means nothing. But he was excited.
Sure.
Big pass to Hollywood Brown as well, I think, the next day in camp. Celebrate. Not quite as much, but celebrated. There seems to be a lot of excitement for the offense this year.
Yeah, he got some weapons.
And you add in the fact that the defense, I know there's some concerns about the secondary because no Legarius Sneed, though I don't think you need to be quite as concerned. But I think this might be a year where you got the defense, your offensive line still pretty good. You got some playmakers outside of your receivers. You obviously got Travis Kelce. I really like this Jared Wiley kid. I've been talking about him a lot since they drafted him on day three.
See that one-handed catch?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Watch out for Jared Wiley. Ooh. Watch out for that kid. Their running back situation, I think, is a lot better than people give it credit for. I think Pacheco might have the best year of his career. And I'm telling you, man, like now that they got the deep ball back, seemingly, we'll see what happens in the games. But now that you got two legitimate deep threats out there, gonna be a lot more excitement out there. And I'm telling you, man, like I think a lot of people underestimate just how tough it was for Andy and Patrick to kind of push this team along and get offense out of them without Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek was an integral part to their offense. And Aqib Talib came out and kind of brought up the explosiveness that the Chiefs should be getting back this year with the additions of Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown.
Because you almost got a Tyreek. You got a Tyreek. You got almost two of them. Now you got Hollywood and Worthy. You could stretch the field with both of those guys. And then you got one of the best catch and run guys underneath in Rashee Rice. He almost like a Deebo Samuel type. And then you got Kelce. And then you got a great running back. And then they got Andy Heck, man. It don't matter who you give him on the O-line. He seems to revamp him and have him Super Bowl ready by the end of the season, man. So I love what they do with that O-line. And it's just a lot of explosion around it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The truth is they had Tyreek, but they never really had depth, right? They never had the number two and number three like you're talking. So you're probably
that's exactly that's- now they got a bunch of guys who can play football. So and then Mahomes is in he's just now getting to his OG veteran days now. So I don't know, man. It's we may be looking at the GOAT.
That's Aqib Talib, who was on with Kay Adams on Up and Adams on the FanDuel Network. I just think about that. You got the offense that's got the explosiveness. You've got the guys underneath. Got the offensive line, and also you have a great defense on the other side.
This is the most well-rounded team that we've seen in the Andy Reid era.
I think so. Like, yeah. I think this is a team that I don't know, like, what's going to be their weakness if it's not unforced errors like it was last year. Like, last year, unforced errors, bad penalties, untimely, you know, bad drops, bad turnovers. Like, that was the story of the 23 regular season for the Chiefs. What is going to be the issue with the Chiefs this year that prevents them from winning a Super Bowl other than unforced errors or, like, God forbid, I'm really knocking on some wood here, an injury?
Yeah.
Like, what is going to be the thing that prevents them from winning a championship this year?
At this point, that's the only thing I can see happening that is going to slow us down. It's like Talib was saying, man, you got so many weapons. You've got the outside in Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown. You've got the inside with Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. And then you got Pac is going to have a breakout year because of these guys. And then on the defensive side, who'd we lose? Legarius Sneed? Look, Josh Williams got us.
I do have a little bit more faith in Josh Williams than I think, and Jalen Watson too, even though he's dealing with injuries right now. But Jalen Watson and Josh Williams, I have a lot more confidence in them than I think most people do.
Yeah, and I understand the concern there.
Yeah.
You know, but I, once again, in Brett Veach, I trust. If they trust those guys, if they're not really concerned with those guys starting for us, I'm good with it.
So there is one interesting kind of wrinkle going into training camp now, is that you've got a lot of people talking. Obviously, you know, there's a couple of teams out there that are talking a little bit of trash, talking at the side of their necks a little bit. There's this clip going around right now of Jamar Chase talking about our quarterback.
And who's the number one player on
the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not gonna lie. I'm salty, though. I'm a little salty. 2 years in a row. But I'm putting Burrow first.
Hey, I'll say this, man. I got respect for Jamar Chase. I think he should lower some of the sodium in his diet.
Yes.
But I appreciate, like, he admitted, he gave you the wink wink. Like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the best player, but I ain't saying it though. I'm a be the team guy. I'm gonna say my friend Joe. Because that's my guy. And look, he ain't the only person that does that. A lot of those guys will vote for their quarterback. Yep. They'll vote for best player on their team. Tyreek Hill obviously does that with Tua, where he tries to lie and say he's the most accurate quarterback in the league, which we know that's BS. He's trying to be a good teammate.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. So I'm not even mad at him for that. And I don't even think, like, if I was Mahomes, I wouldn't even take that as a slight. But the Raiders, where you got Trey Taylor, safety, seventh-round pick out of Air Force for the Raiders, he's out here with a Kermit the Frog puppet made to look like Patrick Mahomes, mocking Mahomes, saying, I'm here, when they played the Raiders at Arrowhead in 22. We obviously saw that on quarterback when he had that little tussle with Max Crosby. Look, I know people on this station have tried to say that the Bengals are the Chiefs' biggest rival, and I think it's BS. The Raiders are the biggest rival because it transcends competitiveness.
I can see that.
We hate the Raiders because they're the Raiders.
Because they're the Raiders.
Not because they're in the way.
Yeah.
We hate them because they're the Raiders. I don't hate them. If the Bengals finished 5-12 this year, and after that they fell off, would I hate the Bengals anymore? No. I wouldn't care. It's over. It's done. They're not in the way anymore. Like, I don't hate the Bills right now. I hated them 2 years ago.
But they're not competitive.
13 seconds game? Oh, I hated them. I was pissed at the end of that game until they came back. I was pissed at that game. I hated the Bills. Mm-hmm. After that playoff win that the Chiefs just got in Orchard Park, I'm done with the Bills as a rival. Done. It's finished. When that crying fan, when they showed that crying fan at the end of the game, that was the end of the rivalry to me. That's it. Like, until they beat us in the playoffs, I'm good on Bills rivalry.
Yeah.
But Raiders and Broncos, I hate them. Mm-hmm. I hate them. They're not even good, and I hate them. Like, that's just how – there's history. There's tradition there. There's – you know, we know the stories of Marty Schottenheimer putting up signs saying F the Raiders around the Chiefs locker room in the Chiefs facilities. That's hatred. That ain't got nothing to do with competitiveness. That's just sheer hatred because you hate them.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think there's a difference between a competitive rivalry like the Bengals and the Bills and even the Ravens. And then there's the a history rivalry.
Yeah, so there's like it's a deeply personal thing. The Raiders stomped on the Chiefs logo 2 years ago at Arrowhead.
Right.
They 3 years ago they rode around Arrowhead on the bus. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, it was 4 years ago. Yeah. Like, that's why we hate them.
That's why we hate
They're
them.
They're the villains.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I can't stand Texas. I'm an Oklahoma fan. And it doesn't matter if Texas wins 3 games, 5 games, 12 games, 2 games, doesn't matter.
That Red River rivalry game pops up? That's hard
horns
to say.
Horns down.
Red River
long.
Rivalry game happens? Oh, yeah, horns down. You ain't like, eh, whatever. No, you hate the horns when you play them.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's the same way with me and the Raiders. Specifically, I dislike the Broncos. I dislike the Chargers. I hate the Raiders.
Yeah, so, like, that's the reason why, like, to me, like, I don't, like, the Chiefs aren't going to take Ja'Marr Chase and what, like, I shouldn't say that. Mahomes is incredibly petty, so he might actually do that. Oh. But I guarantee you, if he had to weigh the options, is it Kermit the Frog puppet or is it he who must not be named? I think Kermit the Frog puppet probably irks him a little more, especially because it's the Raiders, especially because Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things. Like, again, I'm sure he's probably sitting there right now like, man, I just won a Super Bowl in your stadium. What are you doing?
Like, why are you talking?
Like, I'm sure he's sitting there like, he's probably sitting there with whoever is sitting around. He's probably talking to Trav, probably talking to some of the linemen. He's like, dude, I just won a Super Bowl in their stadium. What is he doing? Does he not know what I do at that stadium? Like, wait till we go there.
And not only that, I mean, what Patrick Mahomes does with this bulletin material, this bulletin board material, we've seen those games where he's counting out one, two,
that Bears game,
three.
Man. That Bears game 2019. Like, that's when I knew. I was like, he's petty. He's
petty.
Real petty, and that's cool. And I'll take it.
And it's all bulletin board material. Look, Nick Wright had his show where he brings out his bulletin board.
Yeah, first things first. Yeah.
First things first. Sorry, couldn't think of it. And he's got it all sitting up there. And I think that's what Mahomes kind of does at home. He's got it, and it might not be a physical board,
it's
but he's got that in
it's a
his
mental.
Head.
Yeah.
You know, and he holds on to that stuff. He is petty.
Yeah, to me, I just don't think that was the smart thing to do if you are the Raiders. If you're a Raiders player, like, I wouldn't record that. I wouldn't go, nope, nothing. I wouldn't say everything nice. Like, Mahomes does not talk trash. Mahomes is the nicest guy. Somebody hits him, good hit, boy. Like, that's what he says.
Uh-huh.
He does not talk trash unless you get him riled up. And his talk trash, his trash talk is not even that bad. It's, I'm here, you know, stuff like that. Like,
he talks on the field.
Yeah, he don't even get down. He's always complimenting guys.
Yep.
So don't poke the bear.
Yeah, and we've seen it time and time again. What happens? You know, you poke the bear, you're going to get swiped.
Like, I'll tell you this. The Chiefs were really pissed off at Burrowhead. They were pissed off at Burrowhead.
Uh-huh.
Like, when Mahomes threw that touchdown pass to Marquez Valdes-Scantling right in front of Mike Hilton, the guy who said Burrowhead, I guarantee he was feeling good. He's like, is it Burrowhead now?
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's thinking that. I guarantee you. I don't know if he shook his hand after the game, but I bet you if he did, he gave him that look like, what's the name of the stadium? It ain't Burrowhead. Like, I guarantee you he was thinking that. because he's petty like that. So don't give him a reason to get pissed off at you and take his anger out at you. Coming up, we found out yesterday that Inside the NBA is likely ending after next NBA season, and it caused me to think about some changes that we've seen in this era of sports. And there's a lot of, there's some of these things that I really don't like, and we'll discuss that next.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.